If you would, let's just whisper a prayer this morning for Brother Jeremy. I don't know what's going on, but I know he had to go out with Brother Tommy having some kind of difficulty, so let's pray the Lord to just touch him. Thank you, Brother Todd. Again, I appreciate you being in church this morning. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Probably be very brief this morning, I'm not sure. But I preached from this scripture before and even this subject, but I felt this was the way the Lord would have us go this morning. I'm seeing something as I travel across the country and preach in different places. Sometimes we think there's no place like our place. But what I found is what's pretty common around here is pretty common about everywhere you go. Simply meaning that everywhere you go, I don't care whether it's up north where they talk funny, amen, or down south, way down south where they talk even funnier, or whether it's Canada or Mexico or wherever you may be, you know what you find? People. People. And so we find pretty much, especially in churches, we find pretty much the same traits. I want us to look in Matthew chapter number 7 just for a few minutes this morning. Look at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. The Lord said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." Now look up here just for a second before we read on. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, he said, I will liken him unto what kind of man? Wise. What kind of man?
Wise
man. My wife, she hasn't lately, but sometimes she calls me Al. O-W-L. She said, because I am so wise. Boy, have I got her fooled. The opposite of wise we will see in just a minute, and that is a fool. Now, I don't know about you. If I've got to choose between the two, I would rather be known as wise than as a fool. Now, to be wise, what did Jesus say that we had to do? What he said. Jason said, listen, but Jesus said there's more to it than listening. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Look at verse 25. The Bible said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Stop again. It won't be long after you make any spiritual decision in your life. Whether it's the decision for salvation, trusting Christ as your Savior, or whether it is simply a decision to increase your missions or your giving. It can be something that simple. It won't be long after any decision is made for God, that you will be tested. Amen. Let me say that again. It won't be long after you make any spiritual decision for your life that you will be tested. Amen. Yeah. Amen. In school, when we studied and prepared, what was coming? A test. And as we sit in church and we hear the things of God and we make decisions in our heart to do what God has pushed us toward or encouraged us to do, and we say, yes, Lord, I will do that. And the devil said, we'll see. Dr. Tom Williams, the old cowboy preacher, said, and I'll never forget it, he said, a rain will test your roof. He said, but a flood will test your foundation. Amen. Amen. No sooner do you decide to do something for God till we find out just how firm our foundation is. Verse 26, we see the opposite. He said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Just for a few minutes this morning, we'll try and center our thoughts around these few verses of Scripture, and I want us to think in this direction. For three chapters, Jesus has been preaching. Probably his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. We love those opening statements where he begins, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And we read all those things, and what that, you know what that was? That was Jesus doing exactly what I'm doing this morning. He was giving his word to his people for three chapters. Now he comes down to the end of his sermon and he does something that we always do in our service. He gives an invitation. He gives an invitation. All the way through this thing, he's been talking about how to live, how to act, how to treat others, on and on and on. For three chapters, he's going and going and going and going. Then he gets down to the end of the sermon and says, "Now, what are you going to do?" He closes his sermon with this illustration of one man building his house on the sand, one man building his house on the rock, and the test did come. One stood and one fell. The one that stood was the one that was built on the right thing. And he said the one that stood was the man who heard what he said and did it. One thing that divides us, I'll be careful this morning, I'll make somebody mad. There's really no way to say it without making somebody mad. One thing that divides us from this touchy-feely crowd. Boy, y'all got steel real quick, didn't you? Let me just get a little bit plainer. One thing that divides us from this Joel Osteen bunch. I'll just spit it out right there. Let me just rephrase. One thing that divides us from these Christ deniers is at the end of every service, at the end of every sermon, you will be given an opportunity to do something with it. They want to preach to make you feel good. Sometimes the Lord has us preach to make us feel bad. If every sermon just makes you feel good, you're not getting balanced preaching. Sometimes we preach to encourage and sometimes we preach to exhort. But sometimes, boy, there's got to be conviction that sets in under the preaching of the Word of God that'll make us want to come to the altar, not just to say thank you, Lord, but to make us say, "I'm sorry, Lord, and I'll fix this or I'll fix that or I'll do better here or I'll do better there." Amen. Amen. We okay this morning? I lost some of you. It's a sad day in a Baptist church when you mention old Smiley's name and people get mad. He's not a Baptist. Anybody who says he's not sure Christ is the way to heaven, I don't know about that guy. Oh, go home, look it up. Larry King Live. Look at his whole transcript. 11 times he denied Christ. Point blank. And I don't mean to get hung there, but Mr. Osteen, is Christ the only way to heaven? Well, Larry, I just don't know. What about the Muslims who flew the planes into the Twin Towers, Mr. Osteen? Aren't they in heaven? They died for their God. Well, Larry, I just don't know. Well, Mr. Osteen, doesn't the Bible say, didn't Jesus himself say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me? Well, Larry, I just don't know. I know.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That was just a commercial there. Maybe if you're a fan, it'll make you study a little bit more about what you're listening to. This story that Jesus gives at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is not actually about two men building houses. It's actually about two men building lives. It's actually about two men who sat in His service and how they responded to His invitation. Now, we do pretty good in our church as far as coming to the altar. Usually we'll have as many come to the altar before the preaching as we do that come after the preaching. But I don't care if you've been saved a day or 50 years, there's always room for you in the altar. Amen. Would you agree to that? Fact is, many hear, but few do. The Lord is addressing a problem concerning the response to His preaching. And it's still the same problem today. I don't care where I go, whether it's in Pennsylvania, whether it's in New York, or whether it's down in South Florida, or out on the left coast in San Diego, California, it does not matter. In every service, you have two types of people, tender and hard. And it seemed to me that those who have been saved the shortest amount of time are the tenderest. And those who have supposedly been saved for years and years and years and years and years and years, and they know the Bible frontwards and backwards, and you can't tell them anything, and brother, they ought to have a degree or hanging on their wall. They're so smart and they're so godly and they're so holy, but they're also so hard. They used to weep when they sang about grace. Now they yawn. They used to scoot up on the edge of their seat when the man of God said, take your Bible. Now they look at their watch. I get worried when I see some of y'all come in with a stopwatch. Little boy went spent the night with his friend, and little boy had never been in church, but his friend's daddy, they were faithful in church, and they sat right down on the front row, and the little boy was curious about everything that was going on, was asking a lot of questions. The preacher got up, and the little boy said, who is that? And his friend said, that's our pastor. And the man of God got up, and he laid his Bible down on the pulpit, and he started taking off his coat. Little boy said, what's he doing? He said, he's fixing to preach. He rolled up, he got to going, rolled up his sleeve, loosened his tie, and he said, what does that mean? He said, that means he's fixing to really preach. Yeah. He reached down, took off his watch, laid it on the pulpit, and the little boy said, what does that mean? The little boy said, not a thing. Amen. The Lord is dealing with this problem. I'll give you three simple thoughts this morning. We'll go to the house. But number one, I want you to notice the character of the problem. The character of the problem. How you respond to preaching reflects your character. Can I say that again? How you respond to preaching reflects your character. Do you know it's been a long time since I've heard a preacher who really made me mad? Been a long time. And I preach around the country with some of the meanest rascals you've ever seen in your life. I mean, boy, they name names. I'm talking about these dudes are rough, man. They preach hard. Stick their finger in your face, spit all over you if you're on the first five rows. Yeah. They let you have it, man. Yeah, I mean, you leap in, but you limp out. Oh, I mean, they wear you out. I ain't had one made me mad. Because 9 times out of 10, even though what they may be saying, they could have said it in a nicer way, I have to bow my head and say, you know what? That guy's right. I am wicked. I am sorry. I could do better. I could pray more. I could witness more. What it does when we preach is it reveals your character. Amen. those of you, and I watch you week after week, and I love you, and I hope you keep coming here till you die. I mean that from my heart. If you sit there like a bump on a log, we thank God for our bumps around here. Amen. Thank God for a bump. We'll take a bump. Just be a bump. Amen. That's all you never do. But when you sit there and the invitation's given and you stand in your pew like this, I mean, not even an expression on your face, just a blank look, you say, well, I'm not responding to the preaching. Yes, you are. You are responding just as much as those that are on the altar weeping before God. They're responding in obedience. You're responding in rebellion. A teenager said one time in one of our youth services, all they want us to do is go pray. Duh. That's the whole idea. Do you realize that everything in our services from the very first congregational song through up the specials, I mean down from the preaching, from the reading of the Word of God to the preaching of the Word of God, everything in this place is designed to push you or to prod you to make a decision about your life. And I'm just going to get on a little bit of a soapbox right here. Is that all right? Some of you kill me. You sit there and you sit still and you listen to the preaching. When I say, Brother Todd, come to the piano, you got to go to the bathroom. You walk in and out of here these doors like it's 285 around Atlanta during the altar call. You know what you are? You're a distraction. And you need to stop that. Are we okay this morning? I'm smiling. God's trying to do business with people's heart and you're running in and out the door. Do me a favor. If you run out, stay out. I don't mean don't ever come back to church, but don't come back in. What I'm trying to say is that is the most critical, the most important part of the entire service. Amen. You got to go out, don't go during the invitation. If you've got to go out and they're over here trying to sing, don't be over there trying to squeeze by them. Go another way. We okay? One fella sitting in the back over on that side, during the invitation, decides to get up, walk all the way down, all the way across. Hey, man, God, I'm not trying to keep the attention on me. I'm trying to keep the attention on the Word of God. Amen. 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 How you respond to preaching reveals your character. And I think basically, here's what it is. It's a sin problem. Amen. I like what Brother Eric Capace said in our pulpit here several years ago. He said that when he grew up in a Christian school, and he said one day in chapel he made a decision about his life, and he said as far as he knew he had stuck to it for all these years. And here's what that decision was. He said, I will never hear a message preached that I don't make some decision about my life. Now, boy, that's something, isn't it? What if every time, so many times you think I'm preaching to somebody else. Can I get a witness right there? I don't know how many times I've left the service and somebody shook my hand and said, boy, Brother Eddie, I wish so-and-so would have been here. I wish you would have been here. Amen. I've got you from the neck down. I need you from the neck up. Amen. Every now and then, we need to realize that God may be trying to deliver our mail. Could it be that there's something in every sermon for every individual? Somebody say, all you ever do on Sunday mornings is preach salvation. Hey, if you're saved, that ought to encourage you. If you're saved, that ought to burden you for lost people. Amen. Would it be a bad idea this morning if we're saved by the grace of God to say, hey, from now on I'm going to purpose in my heart to make some decision about my life, even if it's little and nobody knows it but me and God?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's a sin problem. When we do not respond to the preaching, it's a sin.
Amen.
To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what the Bible said?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many of you being honest, and I'm going to lift my hand too, so I'm not beating you over the head, but how many of you have ever felt the need at the end of the service to go to the altar and pray about something, and you sat there?
Yeah.
That's everybody in this building. You know what that was? That was disobedience.
Right.
That was disobedience. The Lord said, come, and we said, no, thank you. God said, come, I want to make a difference in your life. I want to draw you closer to me. I want to make you stronger than you was when you walked in. I want to help you carry that burden. I want to wipe away that sin in your life. I want to fix that marriage. I want to help that teenage son, that teenage daughter, whatever the case may be. I want to help you. And you say, not today. Not today. It's a sin problem. Christ did not preach to entertain. Can I say that again? Christ did not preach to entertain.
Amen.
He preached to exhort and to change.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Everybody talking about change, change, change. Yeah, there's some stuff that needs to change.
You're right.
But it's our hearts what needs changing. Amen.
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 Amen. I wonder this morning, how will you respond to the preaching? I've had to ask my own self that. How will you respond to the preaching this morning? What will you do with it? If we come and we sit in church and we hear the music and we're stirred emotionally, and by the way, that's okay. I get sick and tired of people say, oh, they're just emotional. Sure we are. So are you. Look, woo, hallelujah, that's an emotion.
Yeah, amen.
So is this.
Amen.
Some of y'all doing that. I said something about Joel Osteen. I saw it. I seen that. Don't roll your eyes at me. I'll pick them up and roll them right back to you. Amen. Don't you get it? That scowl look on your face is as much emotional as we are when we weep and shout. Amen. We're not here just to entertain you. I love to make you laugh. I do. I told somebody the other day, they said, if you couldn't have been a pastor, what would you have been? I'd have been a professional bass fisherman. And if I couldn't have been that, I'd have been a stand-up comedian. Amen. I love to make people laugh. And I love to make people feel good. I love to make you laugh and I love to make you feel good. But that's not my only job. I'm not here for an hour of entertainment on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. This is not a show. This is not a gig. This is important.
Amen.
I preached a message one time on standing between the living and the dead. Sometimes as preachers, I feel like that's exactly where we are. I may just be your link to God. Now, I don't mean like Mary. I ain't talking about that.
Amen.
I'm talking about I may just be the one with that one word, that one sentence, that one message, that one phrase that God uses to draw your heart to Him.
Yes, amen.
Amen. The character of the problem, it's sin. And it's a subtle problem. You see, a lot of people feel like they've done their duty just by coming to church. Some of you at the door, and this is every church I go in, I get the feeling that you want me to be overwhelmed that you came. Please don't take this wrong. I am. I never take it for granted that you come and sit in these pews and endure my preaching. I never take that for granted. I'm thankful But you're here for more than that. You're here for more than to make the preacher glad you came. You're here for more than a public appearance. You're here for more than to say, well, God, I came. And God says you only got part of it right. You missed it, man. You missed the whole thing. You left out the most important part. Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus came to their house for supper. Man, wouldn't that be something? I mean, you know, man, we can be having company. I didn't know my house could be that clean. We can be having preachers over during camp meeting or something. My wife will clean that house. You could lick the floor. I ain't lying. You could. You could lick the floor. And she'll cook and she'll spread I'm talking about honey bake. Honey bake would go out of business if you ever got to suck on a piece of her ham. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, best ham in the world. I mean, she puts it on, boy. Why? Because somebody's coming over. Jesus was coming over. Now, the Bible said Martha was cumbered about much serving. You know what she was doing? Her duty. She was doing her duty. She was rattling the pots and the pans. She was putting the ham in the pan. She was glazing that bad boy. She was mashing the taters. She was stirring the green beans. I mean, boy, she had it going on. She was putting the biscuits in the oven. She was doing everything she knew to do. But the Bible said Mary was laying at the feet of Jesus. And Martha got to complaining. And basically what she said was, Lord, why don't you make her get up off her lazy self and get in here and help me? And the Lord said, Martha, Martha. He said, you're cumbered about much serving. Thank God for servants. You know what he said? He said, but Mary hath chosen the good part. We get so caught up in serving and working a bus route and dealing with the children in children's church and running the song portion of the service and get so caught up in being an usher and taking up the offering and making sure the hollering babies are taken out. And we get so caught up in everything that we're doing that sometimes I'm afraid we miss the good part. And that's that part where we get to come and lay at His feet for a little while and say, God, I love You. And Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, I need Your help. And oh God, I need You this morning.
Amen.
God only knows what we miss out on when we miss out on the altar call. I keep some of these folks close at hand. You never know around here, and usually it's the case, some old sinner's going to come down here in this altar. I remember the first time, old Jason, I couldn't find nobody else. I couldn't find nobody handy. Everybody was in the altar, and this old boy came, was lost. I said, Jason, come pray with him. And Jason led that boy to the Lord. And he got up, and he was grinning bigger than the boy that got saved. After church, boy, he grabbed me and hugged me. He said, it's the first time I ever done that. Wow. Man, God gives us opportunities at the altar call.
Amen.
Not only to make decisions for ourselves, but to help others along the way.
Amen.
Amen. The character of the problem. How we respond to preaching reveals our character. I was in a meeting just a couple of weeks ago where there were several other preachers. I was not the only one. And a man was supposed to get up and preach before me. He came by and he shook my hand. He said, I love you, Brother Eddie. I said, could you do me a favor this morning or tonight? He said, what's that? I said, do your best to rip my face off.
Yeah.
What are you saying, preacher? I needed it. I needed somebody to rear back. See, I do the preaching all the time. I was hungry for it. I needed it. And you know what I did? And I had to preach next. But you know what I did? As soon as he got through, I was the first one I hit that altar, boy.
Yeah.
Why? I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity for God to do a work in my heart. The character of this problem. Then there's the commonness of this problem. It's no new thing. It's as common as sin itself. And that's profession without practice. Ow. You don't have to say amen. You can say oh me. That's profession without practice. We talk a good game. Some Christians are like armchair quarterbacks. I don't know at the times I've heard some big old fat overweight guy. It's all he can do to carry his own self around. And he's criticizing No'Shawn Moreno with the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, if I couldn't run no better than that, I'd... like, come on, dude. We okay? I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Do you do everything you believe? Do you really practice what you preach? Ow. Well, it got quiet. It's a common problem. It's a common problem. Here is what we want to do. And I do it myself. We sit in the service. You know what I love to hear more than anything in the world? When I'm in meetings around America, I love to hear young preachers. I don't know why. I love old preachers too. I love to be around old men of God, like Brother Jay, old men of God. I like that. But I love to see them little old boys get up. Ain't got a lick of sense. They got about three times the zeal that they have knowledge. They say some things that ain't even right, you know. But they mean it with all their heart. They like I was when I first started preaching. They'll start praying before they preach. They'll say, God, if I start to say something wrong, kill me. I quit praying that a long time ago. But we'll sit through the service and we'll sit through the preaching. And you know what we look like? We look like them dogs in the back of a back window of a car. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Preacher says, that's what we are. We sit in agreement with everything that's going on. You'll even say amen while I'm preaching. But when I get done, it goes from this, not outwardly, but inwardly. I ain't going down there. Some of you come to the altar every service to pray with someone else. When's the last time you came just for you? It's a decent question, isn't it? I don't mean you just came to put your arm on somebody's back and help them pray about their problem. When's the last time you came because you felt drawn? Now, I'll be honest with you. And I sure don't want to run nobody off, and I don't want to lose nobody. I'm out of the business of running people off from church. I want to drag them in. Amen? But if I sat in a church very long and I never felt drawn to the altar, I'd be wondering if I was in the right place. I know some of you have just got immune to me. Some of you, I'm the only pastor you've ever had. And all you've heard is me. You know all my stories. You know all my jokes. You know about what I'm going to say before I say it. That doesn't change the truth of that book right there. Amen? It's a common problem. Now, let's take away the confusion from the problem. There ought not to be any confusion here. We do not need works to gain salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not working because, or to get to heaven. We're working because we're going to heaven. Amen. Now, whether or not you come to the altar, that doesn't mean you're saved or you're not saved. Amen. But we ought to come to give evidence of salvation. When we sit in church with that blank look on our face, nothing stirs us anymore. Never a tear runs down our cheek. Nothing bothers us. No matter what the subject matter of the preaching, it's for somebody else. I wonder what lost people think. If you could see what I see, from my position on Sunday morning. I watch people. Somebody said, you was preaching the other day, you was looking right at me. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're who I'm preaching to. How stupid would it be if I preached this away? The Bible said you must be. No, man, I'm talking to you. But when that invitation is given, and I know somebody's come in, somebody's invited, a lost man, a lost woman, you know what they're doing during that invitation? They got that head just like this. Yeah. But here's what they're doing. You know what they're doing? They're watching to see what you're going to do. Some of you have had the nerve to walk to this platform during fellowship, shake my hand and say, Brother Eddie, pray. I've got so-and-so here with me today and they're lost. You're sitting in the end of the pew, the altar call's given, and you won't move. You got them blocked in. You ever thought, if I go pray, maybe they would? You say, what do I pray about? Duh. You asked me to pray for them during the fellowship. Now it's your turn. Amen. I don't even know how to give the invitation this morning. But we need to be careful of what we do with preaching. Because I'm afraid we will be held accountable for that. I wonder at the judgment seat of Christ if He might say, you know, I sent you exactly what you needed. I put a thought or a scripture on that preacher's heart just to meet your needs. And He delivered it. He put the mail in the box. But you didn't even bother to open it. You know what we do? We're selective, aren't we? Most of the mail that comes to my house never goes through the door. I know they're envelopes. I don't want a credit card. I don't want another mortgage. I don't need no underwear from Victoria's Secret. Amen. It never makes it to the door. It stops off at the trash can before I get to the house. I keep what's important and throw away the rest. When God delivers our mail, half the time I think we're going. If I open this, that means I'm going to have to change something. Let's stand our feet this morning. I wonder how many. It's a little different message this morning, I know. I think it's needed. Listen to me carefully, Brother Todd, Sister Ashley and Elizabeth, y'all come. Now listen to me. I could walk around this room and put my hand on the heads of people after people after people after people that we used to couldn't beat you out of this altar with a ball bat. I could say, Jesus, you was ready to come pray because your heart was tender. But now as you've been saved for a few years, I watch you week after week. Nothing moves you anymore. Maybe we could make a decision this morning. I'm going to start doing something with the preaching I hear. Even if it's just a little decision, I'm going to do my best to make some decision about my life every time I hear that Bible preached. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Just for a moment, we'll have a word of prayer and the invitation.
remember the most important part of this service. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I wonder if there's one here today. I know this was not a salvation type message, but I wonder if there's somebody here today. Say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today that heaven would be my home. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to get this thing settled in my heart. Please pray for me. You just slip up your hand, put it right back down. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I just want to pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. Is there any others? Preacher, please remember me. I'm not sure about my soul. What about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind. And I know I need to make some decisions in my spiritual life. God bless your hearts. Any others, please pray for me. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Lord, to hear the good singing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear people. Lord, it was not my intent to beat them up this morning. But Lord God, just to make them aware, we have a responsibility. Lord, help us, God. Help me to do better, Father. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Please have your way in this invitation, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.